Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. The Portland riot and review. Is it significant? Does it portend things to come? The tensions between right and left keep increasing. It's getting past dialogue and going to dukes. And as many have predicted, it's degenerating into open violence in our streets. Russia's warning that these crazy lefties are going to start blowing up buildings like Obama's friend Bill Ayers. We're beginning to look more like the Middle East every day. Arab press praises Hamas's arson terror on Israeli communities, lighting little fires and kiting them into their farms and crops to burn them, while at the same time Palestinian growers gather in Israel to study Israeli strawberry production methods. And Israel IDF deploys Iron Dome air defense along Gaza border, while a group of African business leaders and entrepreneurs tour Israel to explore ways to increase mutually beneficial ties in business and development. Man, oh man, America seems to be on the verge of a not-so-civil war. While on almost every other front, America is making a major comeback from the failed policies of Democrat deconstruction of the American way. Mega's mega, you know, but what's with the jobless rate ticking up in June? After an 18-year low, huh? Well, actually, that's a good sign. You know what? I'm not going to get to this in the show today. I can tell you right now. So let me go ahead and finish that thought. Remember all of those who gave up looking for a job and pulled themselves out of the job market altogether, marketplace altogether, under Obama? Well, they're coming back into the workplace, and it looks like the job growth rate's going to keep up with it. So there'll be a little fluctuation along the way here. Will Kim cave to U.S. liberal pressure and decide to back away from Trump? Now, that's an interesting take on the latest developments in North Korea and U.S. relations. I understand Kim, or Rocket Man, has been waffling on his promises of late. What a shock. I'm sure Trump was totally surprised, not perhaps Kimmy, or Rocket Man, has been talking to Rodman and decided his best bet is with the American left after all. Their record is better for admiring and supporting dictators than the right. Trump administration responds to leftist attacks on his zero-tolerance policy by assessing the situation and revealing that it is worse than was thought. Estimates of the number of families that are separated at the border has been raised from 2,000 to 3,000, with about 100 of these being toddlers. The left wants these toddlers put into jail with their parents immediately. I wonder how that policy would work for others accused of crimes and incarcerated while they're waiting their day in court, like perhaps Manafort. Should we put his family in jail with him? It's something they do in China or North Korea. While MSM is zero focus on Trump's zero tolerance policy, they are giving zero attention to yet another story of illegals committing heinous crimes in our country, raping our teenagers. Yeah. Trump's EPA chief Scott Pruitt resigns amid mounting scandals, much to the squealing delight of his enemies. But Trump's replacement for the EPA is going to make them squeal in terror instead. It's Andrew Wheeler, a former lobbyist of the coal industry. He's going to step in anyway until it's decided who's going to take that chair. Someone said that when it comes to the Trump agenda to release the power of American coal and oil, well, this guy is even more aggressive than Pruitt could have ever been or would have ever been. But the really big news, of course, is that with Kennedy gone, will we get a replacement on the court that will swing the pendulum of jurisprudence in this country back to the right where it belongs? Okay, my friends, it is time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
A quick shout-out to all my new friends and old in Idaho and some from Canada who joined us there. I enjoyed my time with you very much. Thank you for your hospitality, and we look to do that again. The Portland riot in review. Is it significant? Does it portend things to come? The tensions between right and left keep increasing. It's getting past dialogue going to dukes. It is, as I have said, and many have predicted. The polarization in this country is becoming so pronounced, it is about to snap whatever remains of a common bond between us. Our political arguments are degenerating into open violence in our streets. We're becoming like some third world country in this regard. Russia's warning that these crazy lefties are going to start blowing up buildings, a la Obama's friends, Bill Ayers. You know, the infamous bomber terrorist, Bill Ayers. Remember him, ghostwriter of Obama's book, Dreams from My Father? Described as a, quote, unrepentant lying terrorist, end quote, by Andrew McCarthy of the National Review back in 08. It's what these people do when they're not in power. They turn to violence. What happened in Portland? Well, a group called Patriot Prayer, started by Joey Gibson, who has openly and repeatedly, by the way, denounced racism and the so-called alt-right and white supremacy and so on. But nonetheless, you know, the MSM and all the other groups are all calling these people far-right group and so on. But you've got to remember, anyone that believes, for example, that abortion is an act of murder perpetrated upon an innocent baby in the womb of its mother under the color of law in violation to the Constitution, which is premised upon the principle that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you're going to be dubbed alt-right. You're going to be dubbed radical by the left, branded as radical. Imagine, it's radical these days to believe life in the womb is a gift from God, and that the baby that leaped in the womb of Elizabeth when in the presence of Jesus in the womb of Mary is proof enough that the baby in the womb is a baby person, and that anyone so wicked and twisted, really, that they can elevate the value of a turtle egg over the value of a living baby in the womb of its mother, that's degeneracy indeed. And the radical idea, the out there idea, is that burning these babies with saline solution or carving them to pieces with a scalpel is wrong? Now keep that in mind the next time you hear the left denounce a group as alt-left or far-right. The so-called far-right today would include virtually every one of our founders. But I must confess I know little about Patriot Prayer. The founder tells us it's a group that was organized in 2016 to respond to Trump supporters being bullied and attacked by the hat haters. They hate Trump, you know, but they really get triggered when they see that cap, somebody wearing the cap with Make America Great on it. I guess I'll have to get me one of those hats, you know. Where can I get one of those hats? I want one signed by Trump. Anyway, Gibson organized this group to respond to the Trump haters during the campaign. He gathered his group in areas known to be centers of liberal politics, and of course, this brought out the liberals in counter-protest, which is all fine and good. Of course, liberals have been doing this for a very long time. That is, bringing their marches and their rallies and so on out into the streets in our faces, right? But when a conservative does it, suddenly it's an anti-government group, right? So if liberals protest Trump, that's not anti-government. But if a conservative group rallies for the president, well, that's anti-government. How twisted can this get before truth is simply, totally, and irretrievably strangled out of our public discourse? Pay attention to what you're doing here. The white supremacists show up at some Patriot Prayer rally, and that allows the MSM to forever then label the group as connected with white supremacists. Can you believe these people? But you can't control who comes to your rally. But Maxine Waters is seen with Nation of Islam leader Farrakhan, hater of America, hater of Jews, hater of whitey everywhere, agitator and fomenter of dissension, hate speaker extraordinaire, but she's not repeatedly labeled with Louis Farrakhan. I mean, you don't read Maxine Waters associated with anti-Semitic Nation of Islam every time you read her name. The Republican Jewish Coalition, RJC, has called for the resignation of 7 Democrat representatives because of their association with Farrakhan. And I think they made an interesting point, but I want you to read their entire statement. I found it in an ABC News article. And after they call for the resignation of these Democrat leaders in the Congress, they go on to say, quote, they include former Nation of Islam employee Congressman Keith Ellison. That's former Nation of Islam employee. Okay, who is deputy chair of the DNC. Ellison has tried to excuse his 2013 meeting with Farrakhan while ignoring his more recent meeting with the Nation of Islam leader in Farrakhan's hotel room in 2015. At least 6 other Democrats are known to have embraced Farrakhan. These members of Congress include Maxine Waters, Barbara Lee, Danny Davis, Andre Carson, Gregory Meeks, and Al Green. Have all, while in office, sat down with Farrakhan for personal meetings. The RJC statement continues, quote, there can be no question about how abhorrent it is for these Democrats to be connected to Louis Farrakhan. Farrakhan is first and foremost a preacher of hate. He preaches about Jewish control over the government and media and has claimed to have pulled a cover off of that satanic Jew, saying, your time is up, your world is through. You know how he talks. And those were just the comments from last week, this report said, or this statement says. Anti-Semitism is unacceptable. Farrakhan is the moral equivalent of a leader of the KKK, end quote. And this is where comes the thought I thought was particularly interesting in the statement, because they say, quote, if it was discovered that members of Congress had met with the leader of the KKK, well, they would need to resign, end quote. But then I remembered Robert Byrd, do you? Former senator for West Virginia. He served for 51 years as senator, another six before that as representative. A former Klan member who once totally supported the Klan. But at least he did later renounce his former racist views and connections with the Klan. These characters are today fraternizing with this anti-Semitic Farrakhan, but you get my point. Let a white supremacist show up at a conservative's rally and they get branded as associated with white supremacy. Let a liberal hug Farrakhan and attend one of his rallies and, well, you know how it is with liberals these days. So the Patriot Prayer Group gathered in the streets of Portland, Oregon, to begin a permitted and peaceful march through town with flag-waving Americans. But right away, Antifa begins showing up, even before they started marching, and among them, some who had rap sheets for violence, yeah, and some, by the way, who were arrested there, who were wanted for crimes of violence they had committed before. That might be a good way to bait them to come so you can get them, you know, get a conservative group out there. Anyway, as soon as the Patriot Prayer March began, Antifa counter-protesters began throwing eggs and half-empty water bottles and firecrackers into the marching group. The Oregon police fired some pepper spray into the crowd, trying to get them to back off, and began to move in. But then it began to get really weird. Words were exchanged, as you might expect. One thing led to another, and pretty soon you've got bedlam. One red-headed Patriot Prayer warrior, yeah, took down an Antifa thug, yeah, was pounding the dude into the pavement, uh-huh. A 5'6", 150-pound chick, that's what I would size her up as when I saw the picture, pummeling what looked like a 6-foot-something, 200-pound Antifa Soros-funded thug. I don't know if Soros money can be linked to this group. Well, not yet. I know they're linked to some other Antifa groups. But anyway, the leader of the counter-protest group put out a notice to not send out that picture, you know, don't give it a lot of publicity, you know, it doesn't look good for us to have this conservative chick beaten up, and get, you know, putting a major beat down on a big, bad Antifa dude. It's not going to help our image. People won't be afraid when they see us coming. But is this where we're going? Now, here's a young man, a teenager, who stopped into a Whataburger for a bite to eat. He was wearing his Make America Great Again hat. Some dude walks up to him, takes his hat, starts yelling at him about supporting Trump. Says something to the effect, you ain't supporting nothing. You and he called him a name. And then he picks up this kid's Coke and throws it into his face. Walks off with his hat, spouting off his hatred. Dinesh is telling us anytime this kind of thing happens, I mean, you know, when it's clearly an attack on you because of your personal beliefs, that you need to report it to management. And in the case of physical assault, you need to file charges and let them prosecute the guy. How does that jibe with Jesus' instruction to turn the other cheek? I have written on that in my paper titled War and the Christian Ethos. It comes up in addressing that subject. Write me an email and I'll send it to you free. The bottom line is that Jesus was not talking about criminal behavior, obviously. I mean, if someone rapes your daughter, you don't say, well, you know, we got to turn the other cheek, honey. You know, we just got to forgive them. That's foolishness. How do you turn the cheek in a criminal situation without exposing others to this person's criminal behavior? And no, the government has no business turning your cheek, and you don't have no business turning your cheek to criminal behavior. And the point is clearly that's not the idea. And I don't have time to go into it here. You write me an email, and I'll send you my paper titled War and the Christian Ethos, and it'll straighten that out for you in your heart and mind. So I say the biblical thing to do in a case like this is to hold the individual accountable for their actions, let government do its job, and execute wrath upon those evildoers. Hold on through the break. I'll be right back.
Dr. Scheidbach will begin his prophecy series with Daniel, where he'll lay a solid Bible foundation for a proper study of the Revelation. In the course of this study, students will have considered virtually every prophetic passage in the entire Bible. Everyone's welcome to attend free of charge. However, only those who register will have access to his notes and outlines, his complete manuscripts for these courses, and inclusion in a Facebook private group to chat with a doctor, to ask questions, and receive additional help with your study. Call 805-714-7731
or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information and to register today.
Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about two, to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I understand Kim Jong-un has been waffling on his promises. While I'm sure Trump will be disappointed, the liberals are the only ones these days who really hope for continued hostility between the United States and North Korea. So while Trump will be disappointed, I don't think it will come as a total surprise to him. Pompeo is over there right now. I believe he's still there talking to Rocket Man to sort things out. Well, let's see how it goes. I think North Korea is dealing with something they're not ready for if they mess around with this president. Perhaps Kimmy has been talking to Rodman and decided his best bet is with the American left after all. You know, their track record is much better for admiring and supporting dictators than the right. Trump administration responds to leftist attacks on his zero-tolerance policy by assessing the situation and revealing that it was worse than was thought. He estimates that the number of families that are separated at the border has been raised from 2,000 to 3,000, with about 100 of these being toddlers. The left wants those toddlers put into jail with their parents immediately. Of course, it was the left who filed a suit against that practice when it used to be done before Clinton. But anyway, I wonder how that policy would work for Manafort. Let's put Manafort's wife and children in prison with him. Liberals don't believe in separating families when the parents break the law, right? Manafort was Trump's campaign chairman, but when revelations about some of Manafort's questionable past dealings began to surface, Trump dumped him, moved on. There are some very concerning allegations that Manafort was in debt to Russian interests to the tune of some, $17 million or something like that. Also, some shenanigans related to involvement with the former Ukrainian president. I understand that Ukrainian officials want to question Manafort about the role he played, if any, in the 2014 police killings of protesters in Kiev. It should be said, however, that Manafort has denied those allegations that are related to Mueller's interest in him. He's denied ever knowingly speaking to any Russian intelligence officer, or that he has ever had any dealings with Russian government or the Putin administration. Anyway, it's very obvious that Mueller really, really hopes he can find some connection between Manafort and Russia and link that somehow to the election of 2016, and it would be a special bonus if he could get Manafort to implicate the Donald directly. And that is what this is all about, my friends. It's a political witch hunt, just as the president has been saying from the beginning. It's not okay to separate families from parents who are accused of breaking the law, but it is okay for them to deprive Manafort of his right to counsel. Yeah, I understand Mueller is obstructing Manafort's communications with his lawyer and even has obstructed his right to have counsel present when interrogated. Yeah, the FBI has Manafort locked away in isolation, trying to break him down like they did Flynn. Only in this case, they hope to beat Manafort down into confessing to something that never happened. These people are getting increasingly desperate. I have been warning you to pray some more, and watch and pay attention and be prepared, because when this all comes out, when it finally comes down to the time that you see Hillary put in handcuffs and hauled off to jail, when it comes time to pull that tree from its roots and cast it into the sea, her and Obama both, by the way, there will be a major reaction, my friends. Look, I don't know whether Manafort is guilty or innocent about his personal dealings with Russian businessmen and all that. What I do know is that Mueller really, really hopes that he's guilty of dealing with Russians while he was the chairman of Trump's campaign. And he's operating on the assumption that he must be guilty of something in that regard. It's what I've said months ago. Mueller is a bully. This is his modus operandi. He's done this kind of thing before. He's handling this investigation with Manafort like he did those investigations when he was going after mob bosses and all that kind of stuff. If you have to bend a few rules to get the job done, well, you know, that's just the way the cookie crumbles, you see. You can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs, you know. Like when Mao was questioned about the number of people being killed in his revolution, he explained, well, you know, a revolution is not a picnic. So, after all, we watched Jack Bauer do it and cheered. But it's totally different picture when you don't have control of the script. We don't have control of their script, that's for sure. Remember Mueller's involvement in the framing and imprisonment of four innocent men while he served as assistant U.S. attorney? The FBI withheld evidence proving the innocence of these men in order to protect the cover of a mass murderer, Whitey Bulger, when Bulger was considered a high-value FBI informant. Yeah. I got to break a few eggs, you know. By the way, this is not conspiracy theory. This has been prosecuted through the courts. It's been proved that the FBI purposely withheld evidence that exonerated these four men in the charge of murder, by the way, and they had to pay out over $100 million in restitution. For 10 years, these men sat in prison. Three of them died before the lie was revealed. It's like Benghazi, you know, that kind of thing just makes you crazy, makes your head explode, that no justice is done. These people aren't brought to account. Don't talk to me about Trump denigrating the reputation of the FBI. Are you kidding me? Mueller is up to the same tactics here. The FBI leaked lies about having evidence of a Russian connection to Manafort to the press. The press ran with it. In this way, they created a cloud of suspicion as a cover they could use to hold him and others. Nobody to say much about it. And now his lawyers are demanding the release of this evidence that they told the press that they had. And they leaked this illegally, by the way. You understand that. The FBI has been committing crimes with implications that are as serious as anything Manafort has been accused of. Serious crimes are being committed here within the FBI. And Sessions, it would seem, is curled up in a corner somewhere, sucking his thumb and afraid to act. What did they get on Sessions, I wonder? Manafort's lawyers have asked for the evidence the FBI claims that it has. You do understand what's happened here, right? Evidence has come out that proves the FBI leaked this information to the press. So now Manafort's lawyers are seeing evidence, an indication that the FBI is just simply after Manafort to get at Trump. In other words, that's politically motivated. Or in other words, that Manafort's a political prisoner. So they have demanded that this evidence be turned over to Manafort's defense, which is reasonable, appropriate, and, by the way, the law. The special counsel replies by saying, quote, "The special counsel's office has no evidence in its possession responsive to Manafort's request for transcripts, notes, or tapes of any and all conversation or contacts between Russian intelligence or government officials and Manafort," end quote. Now, you know how to read through this stuff, you know, when you spend enough time with it. In other words, the basis of their leaks, the so-called evidence of this, consisted entirely of rumors that they heard. He knows it's not evidence. It might be a lead, but it does not constitute evidence. Unfortunately for Mueller, the leaks to the press indicated that they had evidence. In fact, they leaked it out that they had evidence that was produced by federal surveillance efforts, and they don't have that available. What? You know, they would have that evidence in possession, but obviously they don't. Either that or they're withholding evidence again. So Manafort's attorneys are saying since the special counsel's office admits it has no evidence supporting their allegations against Manafort, you know, the evidence that was used to justify their probe of Manafort in connection with Mueller's investigation, which is supposed to be about Russian collusion, then there's no legal basis for Mueller's probe and Manafort must be released forthwith and the people who perpetrated this fraud upon him must be punished and the, quote, unfair prejudice to Mr. Manafort must be remedied, end quote. So, oh boy, Mueller's going to get it again. Another judgment against his activities that he won't have to pay for. Now, here is where it gets really messy for Mueller and his mules. You see, these leaks were lies. That much we have established. And they were leaked during the campaign of 2016. You see, they were strategically leaked just as voters were finalizing their decision about who they were going to vote for. October 31st, 2016, in fact. The Obama bots in the FBI at that time trying to manipulate the election. Another accusation was that Manafort secretly worked for a Russian billionaire. Yeah, you know, this article is fascinating, and you can get it online. But what is happening here is there's something like, I don't know, there are six accusations against Manafort that were leaked by the FBI to the press. And sometimes in those leaks, even providing an explanation of how they got the evidence. So Manafort's lawyers say, okay, let's see it. And Mueller and company respond by saying, well, actually, we don't have any evidence. You see, it was never supposed to get out there that the FBI was the source of the leaks. 1 Corinthians 4:5, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. All right, my friend, that's what's going on here. A lot of prayer has been invested in this revival. We're beginning the political side of this revival. Now we're looking for a total moral revival and return. Okay, what else do we have here? You know what? I've only got a few minutes left. Let's talk about how we need to pray about Trump's next Supreme Court pick. I heard Mike Lee was up for consideration, and I'm reading now that the conversation between Trump and Lee was for advice in whom to pick, not a job interview. Too bad. In my opinion, would have been the best pick of the six, I understand, was on his list there. Three names remain. Federal Appeals Court judges Kavanaugh, Barrett, and Kethledge. All are reputedly conservative, originalist, and textualist in their approach to the Constitution. Or in other words, each of these jurists has a reputation for ruling according to law. Yeah, okay? And not according to fluctuating consensus of political opinion or correctness. Kavanaugh is suspect, however. Some pro-life groups are concerned about his ruling in a case that involved an illegal immigrant coming across the U.S. border who wanted to get an abortion while she was in detention. He ruled against the idea that an illegal immigrant held in detention could get an abortion on demand. Which is good. The court went the other way. But the concern is that he did not join the dissent by Judge Karen LaCraft Henderson, who wrote that, quote, the teenager had no right to an abortion because she was not a citizen and had entered the country illegally, end quote. Now, if you think about it, it is surprising that Kavanaugh would not have signed on to this dissent. I mean, someone comes here to murder the baby in her womb under our laws, which she couldn't do it in her country, so she comes here to murder the baby under our laws, but she's not a citizen. And then you have Judge Kavanaugh's 2011 ruling on Obamacare. He did dissent from the majority decision, which upheld that wretched law. However, he did it, he explained, on jurisdictional grounds, not on the merits of the case. Or in other words, he sees no constitutional problem, apparently, with the government providing mandated health care and all that, but he does feel that the case was brought by persons without jurisdiction to make a claim. So these things bother me about Kavanaugh. Sounds to me like he would be a Kennedy, but with a slightly, maybe a slightly rightward pull in his gait rather than Kennedy's leftward-leaning gait. An improvement, but then maybe not. Now, let's look at Kethledge quickly. He clerked for Kennedy, so it might be suspected that he would be like Kennedy. But Gorsuch also clerked for Kennedy at one time, so that's not always a predictor. And with Gorsuch, remember, he sat on the bench of the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals for I don't know how many years. He was appointed by Bush to that court back in 2006. So, you know, we have a lot of case rulings to evaluate. So he was a proven constitutionalist, original intent, and textual jurist. So we don't have that with Kethledge. We don't know how he would rule. He could be a surprise and a bad one. That leaves Amy Coney Barrett. When some of my friends enthusiastically recommended her, I was not real enthusiastic. The reason is that, as per usual, it was presented to me as a kind of, well, this will be a good strategy because the Democrats can't attack a girl like they can attack a guy. Now, of course, if you were not pro-life or a constitutionalist or originalist or textualist, so then none of my friends would have supported her. So don't get me wrong. That wouldn't be the only reason. But they just felt like she had a good chance to get in there. But I tend to resist that kind of approach. I look at the merits of the individual. And at that time, I was hoping for Mike Lee or maybe Ted Cruz. Both of those men are extremely well-grounded in constitutional law and are committed to the principles of textual reading of the Constitution as the law of the land, guided by original intent in preference to or over case law or so-called precedent. You know, as an aside, it's interesting that these liberals are all in favor of precedent so long as the precedent is unprecedented. So long as the precedent was established long after the founders passed and subsequently laws ruled in a certain direction, and then they come up with a ruling that deviates from precedent at the time, and now these yahoos want us to think that Roe v. Wade is precedent. Nah, that's not going to work. Yeah, right. Yeah, they want to ensconce Roe v. Wade as if it's the ancient law of the land. What a bunch of nonsense. As if trying to reverse Roe would be tantamount to, well, let's say overturn the meaning of the word marriage. Something as radical as that. But as law goes, Roe v. Wade was avant-garde in its day, and it was a major breakaway from precedent. In fact, it directly contradicted precedent. But now they want to hold it up as if it is worthy of the honor of precedent. Okay, so now Mike Lee is not in consideration, and everything I'm reading about Amy Coney Barrett is very encouraging. She has been consistent. Her views have been made clear on the issues of concern to us, including the issue of abortion and homosexuality. There's good reason to hope she would be open to reexamining Roe v. Wade and at least throw it into the hands of the legislature where it belongs. So if it's down to these three, I'm hoping the Monday announcement will be Deborah. Oh, no, I meant Barrett. Those of you who know enough Bible to understand that, write me an email and tell me you get it. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know. You see they're on. Lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. Go to our website, brainmassage.net. Click on the contact button and send me an email. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Right here, Saturdays 12 noon and Sundays 7 a.m. Go to brainmassage.net.